Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live with you on Sports Grid. It's Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh. Big Time Monday here. No NBA because the dust has settled on the regular season for the association. We have the 3-6 and the 4-5 in both conferences set. We have the play-in tournament, which will start tomorrow. In the East, excited to go through all of that. We will, of course, recap what happened at Augusta National. Scottie Scheffler puts on another green jacket. We also have Major League Baseball and NHL games to go through. We'll get some picks on the board. And we as well have the WNBA draft tonight. Caitlin Clark, every single indication that she will be selected first overall by the Indiana Fever. So much so, there is no market for her to be the first overall pick, but you can bet her to lead the Indiana Fever in scoring this season and a number of other Caitlin bets that are out there. But we have odds for the second pick, and there's been movement throughout the day. Third, fourth, fifth, and sixth are available using on the FanDuel Sportsbook there, so we will go through all of that. Great group joining us tonight. Brady Cannon, Joe Madden, Dave Sharapan will all be in the fold as we are live with you here on this Monday. No Coach James Young with us tonight. Again, dealing with a family matter, we send out the very, very best, though, to him and the entire family. And JY will certainly be back in the mix here later on this week on Sports Grid. Let's, though, start in the National Football League here with some wide receiver news. It is contract season, and the Philadelphia Eagles doing what the Philadelphia Eagles do, and that's getting in and getting out. What do I mean by that? Let's pay our guy before everybody else because we don't need that market to be reset. Let's just, we know we want this guy. We know he wants to stay. Let's not overcomplicate things here and drag this out. We bring the radio audience in on Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. I'm Kevin Walsh. It's Game Time Decisions, and we're live here until 8 o'clock Eastern tonight. Devonta Smith signs a brand new deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. And again, this is what the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts. Got that deal done before Justin Herbert, before Joe Burrow, even before Lamar Jackson. They basically, in getting the Jalen Hurts deal done, it set the framework for the Lamar deal. And really the fallout from this Devonta Smith deal is the fact that now you're hearing some question marks around CeeDee Lamb. And Dallas would be crazy to not bring CeeDee Lamb back into the fold, but they're going to have to pay him big, big money. I think the question around the CeeDee deal is, will this be done before or after the Justin Jefferson deal? Both of these top wide receivers holding out now until they get those new contracts. There are some who believe Justin Jefferson could get quarterback money from Minnesota. If CeeDee Lamb goes first, Justin Jefferson will top that number, no doubt. If Justin Jefferson goes before CeeDee Lamb, things could get tricky for Dallas and that conversation. Minnesota, of course, one of the key teams when we look at the NFL draft, which is coming up now in less than 2 weeks' time. Sports Grid having major, major coverage for that event. We talked about the NFL draft a little bit over the weekend. A mock draft through the odds where a player is favored to go, and what do it look like if the favorite consistently comes in. J.J. McCarthy, who has a minus number to be a top five selection, around minus 175, is not favored to be selected at any of the singular instances 1 through 10. A lot of people believe he could go to Minnesota. It would require the Vikings to trade up, though, of course, to make him a top 10, top 5 pick. Some believe Arizona at 4 and the Los Angeles Chargers at 5 will be listening. And, of course, we will follow those rumors and odds movement here on Game Time Decision and across the network. Let's open it up, though, and put some eyes on some of the key items here, including what Scottie Scheffler did at Augusta. Second green jacket in 3 years. Entered at minus 115 on Sunday. And we'll talk to Brady Cannon a little bit here in a bit. What he thought of the Masters, as well as some early thoughts on RBC. And it took me a while to accept that the correct bet was the boring bet, if you will. I wanted to sling some money around on Tommy Fleetwood, who had a nice day, at around 110 to 1. And yeah, you could have got some good money on Tommy Fleetwood to finish top five or beat his round score. But when it came to winning this tournament, it became clear it was going to be Scottie Scheffler. And at minus 115, that bet, if you think about betting Scottie Scheffler, and I'm not knocking anybody who bet him at 4-1, you obviously cashed your ticket. Great job. But betting Scottie Scheffler at 4-1, when you look and every single person is dead even, nobody's hit a golf ball yet, with four rounds of golf to play, or at minus 115, one-shot lead on Morikawa, two-shot lead on Homa, three-shot lead on Åberg. Nobody else really was going to even contend at that point. And at minus 115, it actually felt, for the first time in a long time, we had value on Scottie Scheffler. And he did not make this thing close, shot 4-under, 11-under for the tournament, and absolutely ran away with this thing. The intrigue was gone, but the tickets were cashed on anybody that bet Scottie Scheffler. And he is a fascinating discussion at RBC. At last look, his odds are posted. There is not a lot of certainty that he will actually play in that tournament. Before we shoot to the NBA, let's quickly go to the NHL. The ice tonight, important because we are nearing the close of the NHL's regular season. Some key games here with Boston and Washington. You've got Pittsburgh and Nashville. We'll go late night, Kings, Minnesota, and we'll keep some East Coast action for you with the Devils and the Isles. We will, of course, mix in Major League Baseball. The MLB Play of the Day will be upcoming as well, so do not go anywhere. We'll shoot this now down to the NBA bracket, and I want to expand on this NBA bracket in just a few moments here on the show. What's set, what's settled, what's locked in the West? This has been the case for a bit. The 4-seeded Clips, the 5-seeded Mavericks, Dallas is flipping to a favorite. Is that Mavs money? Is that Kawhi injury concern? We will unpack that. Minnesota and Phoenix, the Suns, a big winner from the NBA's regular season finale, with the Lakers beating the Pels. The Suns avoid the play-in and get a round one matchup against the Timberwolves team that they just beat in the regular season finale to secure this sixth spot instead of having to play potentially the Denver Nuggets. In the Eastern Conference, we'll go Cleveland and Orlando, the Cavs, and embarrassing mistake to punt on that basketball game. They could have been third. They were too worried about having to play Philly or Miami. Maybe it works out for them, though, drawing Orlando in the opener. Milwaukee and Indiana. Giannis looks unlikely for game one. The Bucks could be one and done. The Doc excuses are loading as we speak. Your play-ins are set. The Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. We will go.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Go through those, but if you also take a look, tonight, the WNBA draft. Caitlin Clark expected to, of course, go first overall to the Indiana Fever. Cameron Brink, supposed to be a spark, minus 9,000. It's down to minus 2,000. What's the move? What's the riddle? Can we figure that out? Camila Cardozo, favored to go third. We will investigate it all and be live with you for the beginning of the WNBA draft. It's Game Time Decisions on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live right here on Sports Grid. It's Game Time Decisions. Excited to be with you on this Monday night. Joe Madden will be here in 15 minutes. We'll go through the baseball and the hockey. Joe will stop by a few times tonight to help us set that up. Also excited to talk to Brady Cannon about what's going on with the RBC Heritage and, of course, his takeaway from the Masters 2024. But I must dive into the NBA as the dust has settled. Regular season is done. Play-in is on deck. And we have a number of markets that are starting to materialize. Again, we will also tonight talk some WNBA draft. Quickly, as I said over there, we've got the 3-6 and 4-5 in each of these conferences. The Mavericks-Clippers is becoming a very, very fascinating watch, with Dallas flipping to the favorite in the series. Now, part of that is the Mavs have become a team that a lot of people are buying into. Why wouldn't they be? They have the best record in basketball since March 6th at 16-4. They've been awesome. They've been absolutely awesome, the Dallas Mavericks. The Clippers are, well, they're clippering, aren't they? Here's the deal. I don't root for injury, but I sure do like being right. And if we get to this series and Kawhi does not play, anyone out there with a Clippers future, if you try and tell me, oh, come on, what if Kawhi was up? Don't care. Don't care. This is how it goes. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. So let's just say Kawhi is good enough to get you through this series against Dallas. You trust him to be good enough for round two? Do you trust him to be good enough for the Western Conference Finals? The Clippers are an absolute waste of your betting dollars. Plus 650 to win the conference. No way. To win the title, no way. 14-1, tied for the second best odds with another gigantic waste of money in the Milwaukee Bucks. The 3-6 series in the East. The current price in this market is Milwaukee a minus 154 favorite. This is not a number. This is not a number that will stick if Giannis is confirmed out. The Bucks at the moment are a 1.5-point favorite for what is expected to be a Sunday basketball game in Milwaukee. Total listed at 234. Who wants to get involved? If the Indiana Pacers line up against Dame and Dame alone, they will end up being favored in game one, and it will move the market a bit more. Now, we don't know how long Giannis is set to be out. That's the tricky thing. If you tell people, hey, look, you're only going to miss Giannis for a game, or you're only going to miss Giannis for two games, then they may be willing to say, I trust it enough. But all we know is it looks unlikely Giannis plays the first. And that could roll over into Giannis missing the second. Giannis is not a stranger to missing playoff games. And who is going to be interested in betting the Bucks? We're hearing, and look, while where it came from, it's a grain of salt. Dame's not happy in Milwaukee. Why I think it's even willing to bring up, does anybody find themselves surprised at that news? That Damian Lillard, who only and singularly wanted to go to the Miami Heat, is unhappy about being in Milwaukee and this roller coaster? And now in the playoffs, again, looking around, feeling like he's alone? I'm not saying feel bad for Dame. Dame is a big part of why Milwaukee Bucks are in this position that they're in. Dame yesterday ripped off a 2-for-14 performance. Atrocious Damian Lillard yesterday against the Orlando Magic. But if Dame's checked out, Giannis is injured, and Doc is, I mean, whatever that is, nobody's going to be looking to invest in the Milwaukee Bucks. It's just the state of things. And you continue to look at the series that are set up right now. Cleveland's a favorite, minus 186 over Orlando, who's at a plus 156 price. And then we have the Suns, a slight favorite over Minnesota in that series. Phoenix looks real good. They don't look best in the West good, but they look can beat anybody good. And I think Phoenix is really interesting when you look at the bracket. Yes, they are good enough to get through Minnesota. I think even in general, the way the bracket broke for Denver, right, is really interesting. The West is tough. But if Denver draws the Lakers and then the winner, which would, of course, be Minnesota and Phoenix, that's tough. Look, I know they've owned the Lakers. I 100% get that. But playing LeBron at his freshest doesn't sound ideal. It just sounds like a longer series. Denver will be favored, of course. I would gladly bet that series over 5.5 games. Expect 6, if not 7. And then you play a Minnesota team that you lost a tiebreaker to because you struggled with them, or a Phoenix team that we've seen win this season in Denver. That's a tough road. And potentially waiting in a conference finals is Oklahoma City, who you struggled with this year and would have home court advantage. I'm not telling you that the Denver Nuggets shouldn't be favorites in the West. I'm telling you the gap is aggressive at plus 135. But the gap truly is because the odds makers, the bettors, don't trust anyone else truly. Thunder too young. Clippers aren't healthy. Dallas has been getting... Dallas down to plus 750 is about as much respect as you could get sitting as a 5 seed. Phoenix is plus 850. They're a 6 seed. There's your 3 seed in Minnesota at 850. So that's part of the reason that we've been given those numbers and they're lining up the way they're lining up. Play-in odds out and available. It begins tomorrow with the Western Conference. The Lakers have flipped to a favorite in New Orleans. The spread math in me loves New Orleans. They just played. The Pels were favored throughout the day. I know the Lakers were continually bet throughout the process. It was B.I.'s first game back in a bit. And I know the Lakers went and ran away. And LeBron was his excellent, obvious, still top 10 player, all NBA self in the game. And you might think the Lakers will be able to do that once again. But is this number a bit of an overreaction due to the Lakers winning that game? Here's the thing. What's on the line for the Lakers tomorrow is not as much as what was on the line yesterday. It's not. Now, there are some atrocious takes that the Lakers should intentionally lose to New Orleans to avoid Denver. Those takes stink and are thoughtless and really only exist to get someone like me to be angry about them, so I guess job well done. But if the Lakers do lose to New Orleans tomorrow, it's not the end of the world because they have a second game. That's why the game on Sunday was so important. So the Lakers were not dealing with do or die in a 9-10, and then a second do or die after winning the first game. So New Orleans is a look. They are. The Warriors are favored in Sacramento. That's fascinating. That's fun. That's a lot of fun. The Steph props are going to be where everybody looks, and understandably so. Wednesday, Philly's laying 4.5 in Miami, and Chicago's against Miami, and Chicago lays 3 to the Hawks. Nobody's ever made it up from the 10. Atlanta is live against Chicago with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray both playing. It makes for an interesting situation. To make the playoffs, the Atlanta Hawks are presently booked at plus 650. Their number would be short-ish if they are able to get through Chicago. As far as Philly-Miami goes, this is, of course, important for both teams' respective prices, as the winner of that game will have a far more favorable path to making an Eastern Conference Finals because you will be removed from the Boston bracket. Let's just say Philly wins because they're favored to win. And you take a look at the rest of their bracket, it would be a round one matchup against the Knicks and then a round two matchup against either Indiana.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Casino, America's social casino.
Or Milwaukee. Philly is potentially favored in all of those series. A lot to continue to break down, but we'll get to the baseball and the hockey next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a Monday night, it's Game Time Decisions. We're joined by Joe Maddon as we get you set for what is close to the end here for the NHL and their regular season, and of course, some Major League Baseball. Joe, excited to get into it. Let's start with something you were telling me about before we got going here, and that's Nikita Kucherov and his chase for the century mark in a specific market. What are you looking for tonight with the Lightning and the Sabres?
Everyone keeps talking about the fact Nikita Kucherov has 141 points and he is leading the league, and that Connor McDavid is bound to hit 100. We know he's hitting the ice tonight, but nothing that I've heard has pointed me in the direction of Nikita Kucherov for his assists. You look at that point breakdown, he has 98 assists. He's been on average going over 2 assists in most of his last 5 games, except for the last game versus Washington, where he was completely held off the board. If he gets 2 assists tonight, he hits that 100 mark, and I do think he can hit it before Connor McDavid even steps out on the ice. So the 2-plus assists coming in for Nikita Kucherov at plus 235, but I would turn around and then look at Connor McDavid as well, especially if Nikita Kucherov gets a 2-plus assist. You can't take Connor McDavid for just 1 assist. The books have it over 300 on the juice there, but if you look at Connor McDavid for a 2-plus assist, I think it's just under plus 200 for that one. But Nikita Kucherov, all day long, the power play here is so strong for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I expect those points to come on the power play for them. The Buffalo Sabres, while they're playing strong, they can't save themselves by staying out of the penalty box tonight. So big night for Nikita Kucherov. Let's get those 100 assists.
All right, we're looking to get 100 up on the board there. Joe, what about this East Coast matchup here in Jersey with the Devils and the Islanders? The Isles, a slight road favorite at last look.
You look at the Devils here, and this team has been struggling to score. In 3 of their last 4 games out there on the ice without Jack Hughes, they haven't been able to produce more than 2 goals, and I do think it's another struggle here. The Islanders have so much to play for tonight. They're sitting in that third spot in the Metro. They can't afford a loss in this one. And Varlamov getting the start in net. Now, he's been absolutely phenomenal in the month of April, going 4-0 with a 1.74 goals against average and a 9.34 save percentage. I do expect him to be nice and strong in net. And the way the defense has finally come out for the New York Islanders, they are locking down. They are giving him the support. I struggle to see the New Jersey Devils scoring more than 2 goals in this. So you're actually getting plus money. I know it's the Devils' last game at home, but taking their team total under 2.5 at plus 124, I think is a fantastic way to go in this one, Kevin.
All right, little team total under action there for Joe Maddon. Joe, what about this Red Wings game? It's the first on the board here. They're going up against the Montreal Canadiens. Do you see any value in this game?
Absolutely. Firstly, Montreal could have the opportunity of at least pushing this one to overtime. That's coming in at plus 380. They want to play that spoiler role, and they're playing really strong hockey right now. But I do think the best thing to look at here is the Red Wings and looking at them in the first period. We know they're sitting 5th in the Atlantic. We know they're in a race for that last wild card spot. But we see the Red Wings game in and game out come out nice and strong and then blow their leads. They did it versus Toronto, and I do think we could see the same thing happen here versus the Montreal Canadiens if they're not careful. So what I'm going to look at is I'm going to look at the Red Wings to score the first goal in the first period. That's coming in at plus 100, but I also think probably the better bet is to look at the Detroit Red Wings to record 12-plus shots on goal in the first period. You see that urgency out of them in that first period? That's coming in at plus 125. They put up 13 shots on goal in the first period versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the last time they faced Montreal, they put up 11 shots on goal in that first period. You look at the Montreal Canadiens, their defense doesn't put up much resistance. They're allowing 33.3 shots on net per game on their goaltending. And I do think the Red Wings, with the urgency they need to play for, they come out here and they put up at least 12 shots on goal in the first period, Kevin.
All right, Joe, how about this game here with Boston and Washington. One of the biggest, I think, on this slate here, this Bruins team continually putting up the results that they need on the road. Check in at minus 146.
There is so much to play for both of these teams. We know the Boston Bruins are sitting here nicely. First in the Atlantic with 109 points. The Panthers are only 1 point behind them. So looking at this team, they don't want to take a loss here. They don't want to give up that first place in the Atlantic. But the Washington Capitals are fighting for that last wild card spot. That is dangerous here for me. I would look at the first period, and I think that first period is a defensive battle. Looking at the goaltending matchup, Charlie Lindgren has held the Washington Capitals in the playoff race. And then Swayman coming in here for the Boston Bruins. We know how elite the defense has been and the goaltending for the Bruins. I'm going to take the first period under 1.5. That's coming in at minus 122. You could also look at the no goal in the first 10 minutes. That's coming in at plus 106. So a little bit of plus money there, but we could see one of these goaltenders slip up fast. I just don't see this one being a game where we get two goals in the first period. I am leaning on the home dog here in the Washington Capitals with how strong they've been fighting. It's just too chalky on the Boston Bruins. And you look at their last 10 games, 8 of them have been on the road. So while they've had some rest between these road games, it's a lot of time out on the road for the Boston Bruins.
And certainly so. Before we get to the baseball, Joe, what about this game and the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight here? An important one against the Nashville Predators, total 6.5.
So important for the Pittsburgh Penguins here. And I do think you have to, again, look at this team to be able to come out and get the win. They've gone 7-0-3 in their past 10 games, and they have so much to play for here. They did take that loss versus the Boston Bruins. They're sitting sixth in the Metro with 86 points. They're 1 point behind the Capitals and the Red Wings and the Flyers, and 3 points behind the Islanders for that third spot in the Metro. So the Penguins are going to need absolutely this win here. If they don't win tonight, they're going to be out of playoff contention. Sidney Crosby for his 2+ points, I would circle. That's coming in at plus 172. He has to drive this team. When we look at the Predators, they do have something to play for with Vegas 3 points behind them and a game in hand for that first wild card spot, but they have less to lose here because all they'd lose is it'd slip into the second wild card spot if Vegas takes over the first. They are making the playoffs no matter what. So desperate team in the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think all of these teams, the Red Wings, the Capitals, and the Penguins win to make it even more confusing in the playoff race tonight.
All right, Joe, you've got some action. It's coming up actually, I think, very shortly here on the baseball board with Baltimore and Minnesota. A pitcher prop. What do you like in this game?
We look at the Baltimore Orioles, and while they've got great bats out there, we're actually seeing opposing pitchers getting those strikeouts on them. Opposing pitchers have had 6 or more strikeouts in 3 of the last 5 games versus the Baltimore Orioles. So I'm looking at the Minnesota Twins, Verland here, to come out and go over 5.5 strikeouts. We're actually getting that at plus money, at plus 122. And while he's been struggling, we have seen those strikeouts coming for him. He had 6 strikeouts versus the Dodgers, and as long as we get 5 innings out of him, I do think he can go over 5.5 strikeouts. So that's at plus 122, Kevin.
All right, a little strikeout prop on the board. Joe, what about this game between Texas and Detroit here? 6:40 first pitch, the Tigers at home.
I think we just look at an under here, Kevin, the under 8.5 for the full game. I'm looking at Detroit, and they're not a team that instills a lot of confidence for me in offense. I don't expect a lot of runs out of them. And looking here at the Texas Rangers, while they could contribute, looking at Reese Olson, I do think he's going to limit the bats, especially in the first 5 innings, 6 innings that he's out. So with this pitching matchup, I've got to look at the under 8.5. Neither of these teams, to me, I think can get enough. There's not going to be those big home runs. I just don't see it happening in this one. So under game, hate betting unders, but you got to do it.
Yeah, you got to do it when it makes sense. And then lastly, Joe, I don't know, a lot of Blue Jays Yankees this year, it feels. The first time these teams played, it was in New York. Toronto, again, unsurprisingly, shut the Yankees out in their home opener. Not a home opener here for Toronto, but a team that did put together 2 really important wins to close out the series against Colorado and get themselves back to 500. A slight favorite now here against the New York Yankees. How do you see it playing out?
Do we really get to celebrate Toronto's wins over Colorado? Because I don't know, Kevin, that 5-0 win yesterday, I was like, good, they finally looked how they should. But I still don't have the faith in Vladdy out there. He's not getting the production I would have expected out of him, but he is leading this team with 3 home runs. So he's able to produce when he turns it on in this one. Chris Bassett getting the start, and I know he's been shelled in his first couple of starts out here. He is stronger at home, so I do have faith in him here at home. And Gill coming out here for the New York Yankees, I think he should be able to limit the bats of Toronto because, like I said, I just don't trust this team offensively as of yet. This first 5 under 4.5 is where I'm going to go with this one, coming in at -104. I expect a lower scoring first 5 innings. Things could open up after that, and that's why I didn't take the 8.5 to the under for the full game, because I just don't trust the bullpen here for Toronto to give up a ton of runs. We know this Yankees team, if they get a pitcher that they hit off nicely, they will. So we'll see what happens here. But I do think that first 5 stays under 4.5.
All right, there it is. Perfect. Joe, a breakdown with the ice and the Major League Baseball. You might be thinking, isn't there a lot more to come? Yes, we will talk to Joe again in 30 or so minutes. Joe, we appreciate it, and we'll talk in a bit.
We'll see you guys soon.
All right, great stuff there from Joe Maddon. MLB play of the day for myself, Anthony Rendon, over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. It took him forever to finally get a hit this season, and he has since been red hot, batting better than .360 over his last 10 games, 3 straight games with multiple hits. Don't be surprised if this is first inning cash. More baseball to come. We'll talk to Brady Cannon about the Masters next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topic.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports Grid, I'm Kevin Walsh, and these past 4 days, of course, the Masters coverage from Sports Grid was great, and that would not have been the case without Brady Cannon, who is here once again. We're going to talk a little Masters, we're going to look ahead a little bit to the RBC, but Brady, not just a welcome in, but a thank you for talking out the Scottie Scheffler outright market with me, and getting to the correct conclusion that the best golfer in the world was going to win that tournament.
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. And thanks for having me on, you know, day after day throughout the tournament so we could update, you know, who might be live to try and win this thing or a top 10. That was really cool. I'm glad we, you know, just pounded the coverage like that. And in the end, we both came out with a winner. You and I both bet him on Saturday night before the final round on Sunday, and we're able to make a few bucks back. But it was a tremendous event, and, you know, the ability to talk about it here and cover it extensively, you know, it's the Masters, right? And, as you can see, Kevin, I was, donning the green jacket all week last week, you know, in support of, one of the greatest events in all of sports. And now we go to Hilton Head, South Carolina. I was lucky enough to play this course one time, so I wasn't able to get myself a tartan plaid jacket, but I do have the tartan plaid hat for Harvard this week. So.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. Before we get to the RBC, because I am excited to get to talk to you a little bit about that tournament, but for you, was there any takeaway from the Masters outside of Scottie Scheffler, any singular performance or something from the event that stood out?
Well, Åberg, Ludvig Åberg, this guy's absolutely for real. And I didn't think he wasn't, but and I was certainly aware of him as a player and a very good player and a guy who's a threat to win each and every week. But it was great to be able to see him up close and personal hitting golf shots, you know, throughout an entire 18 holes. I've never seen coverage that up close and personal and get to watch his golf swing and his putting and, you know, the way he plays the game and the way he handles himself. He's become a new favorite player of mine. I just thought he was a joy to watch, and boy, is he talented. He not only hits it far, but he hits it straight. His irons are spot on, and he can putt. So I really enjoyed what is probably truly a coming out party for him, as the whole world got to see what he can do. So that was very cool. I mean, you know, we said it throughout the week in covering this thing, Kevin. The cream tends to rise to the top in the Masters. And I sent a tweet out last night. If you look at the top 10 of the leaderboard, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Tommy Fleetwood, Max Homa, Cameron Young, Cameron Smith, Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, it was just a murderer's row, and that came to fruition once again. You know, maybe the next tier guys, the Adam Shanks, the Cam Davis, you know, Patrick Reed, if you want to call him that, it all went away. In the end, it was a murderer's row list of the top 10 once again. I thought that was kind of interesting to see how that came to fruition at Augusta National once again. It really seems to do so year in and year out. They have some sort of magic pixie dust around there where you really get the studs that come to the forefront on Sunday. You know, Tiger, I think we talked about this. Overall, I think it was a win. It was a joy to see him play all 4 days. Really, the win came in the first 2 days and in the fact that he made the cut. An incredible experience that he got to play with Neil Shipley. You know, that's obviously even more special for Shipley, but I think it was very cool for Tiger as well. I also thought it was very cool how the first couple days – we got some brutal conditions and very difficult wind. And then Saturday, it was almost like a U.S. Open with how crispy and fast those greens had got. And then Sunday, we kind of got to exhale and breathe and watch these guys play, you know, the back nine on Sunday at Augusta National. We got a little bit of everything. So I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah, look, it was a blast to cover. It was a blast to bet, no doubt. One thing that stood out for me, and maybe it's because of where my bets were, was how little Rory factored in any of the conversations. Like, totally. Even, you know, like Tiger and Rahm were so below what we would want to see from those guys that got discussed a little bit. Rory didn't have a great day one under, a really bad round two, and he didn't even have, we talked about this, me, you, and Dave Sharapan on Sunday, he actually had the lowest round score prop on Sunday. At a 70 and a half, the thought is, oh, well, you know, Rory can put together these awesome final rounds and shoot into a top 10 out of nowhere. And he didn't even end up cashing any top 20 tickets. But here we are looking ahead to the RBC, and Rory has been jumped. Xander Schauffele, Mr. Consistency, Brady brought home that top 10 for you because, of course he did, has jumped in front of Rory, but in front of both of them is Scottie Scheffler. And that's the starting point of this tournament. I mean, considering we spent not a lot, but more than enough time asking if Scottie would pull out of Augusta, do you expect Scottie Scheffler to play at the RBC, obviously important, whether the favorite and best player in the world is actually going to tee off?
Yeah, you know, I don't believe he will withdraw because, I mean, unless he has to with his wife and the labor situation and their first child. But I don't, if that's not the case, if she's not ready to go just yet, I don't think he'll cite that as a reason. If he does withdraw, it's going to be just like, look, man, I've had enough. I'm exhausted mentally and physically. I think it is a bit unfortunate. I love this tournament. I love this golf course. I was lucky enough to play there about 5 years ago. And it's like a polar opposite from Augusta National, this big, massive property with huge fairways and all kinds of elevation change. Now you go to a flat, very tiny, compact seaside location, different types of grass, different colored jacket that they hand out to the winner. Everything is basically a polar opposite. I do love the event, but I'm kind of a little bit disappointed that it's a signature event where all the top players in the world are here. As funny as that sounds, we like to see the best players, but you know, you just come off of the first major of the year, and you know, it's exhausting for all of us covering it, betting it, watching it. And now the Hilton Head at Harbortown, it's always been kind of like an exhale. Okay, let's relax. Let's go to the coast. Let's hang out in a resort type of town and let's just play a little golf. Nothing too serious. Yeah. Well, this year it's serious again, and that's good, but it feels a little odd. But Scotty, I think, you know, knowing him, I don't think the labor issue with the wife is going to come around, and he'll probably play. And at the same time, I think he could be a fade. It's real hard to go against this guy, but if there's ever a spot, it's probably this week.
Well, I was, Brady, listening, you know, to, you know, just some other people kind of discussing all the fallout from the Masters and, you know, looking into it a little bit myself. But the last time Scotty won the Masters, which was just 2 years ago, he didn't win again for a while. And it was one of the most, it was such a remarkable thing. Again, it's why, you know, when Brady and I started to talk golf a little bit more here together on Game Time Decisions, almost every single time my first question would be around Scottie Scheffler, because there was a run where every tournament, the best golfer in the world was always in the mix, but never closed the door, but was always top five, top 10. It was just this incredible, like, I promise you I will be there, but he couldn't cross that finish line. And if we get on this run again, where every Scotty top 10 that cashes and most of the top fives cash, but he doesn't win this tournament, there's going to be value beneath it. And we're coming off of a tournament, you know, you said, Brady, look, this isn't really a tournament at the Masters where you go way down the board, right? And you start trying to, oh, I got a 350-1 to give you guys. What is the, is this a fair game to a degree when we talk about RBC? What's the range you want to operate in?
Yeah, I think you could definitely have some long shots here, and we have seen some in the past. Like I said, it's really a polar opposite from Augusta National. You go from, you know, the big bombers off the tee and wide fairways, and now you have very narrow fairways where you're going to want to look at driving accuracy. Once again, we'll look at iron play. You've got to be especially crisp with the ball striking and the iron play, and then good scrambling around, you know, from big undulated greens at Augusta National that run, you know, lightning fast, to slower Bermuda grass surfaces on some of the smallest greens we see on tour. So, yeah, scrambling, iron play, and driving accuracy, those are probably the three main staples you're going to want to look at. And it's typically going to churn out a very different winner than what we're used to seeing come out of Augusta National. And not always. We've got Matt Fitzpatrick as the defending champion. Patrick Cantlay has won here before. So some of the bigger hitters have been very successful around here as well. But a lot of times, you know, Webb Simpson, Graham McDowell, Matt Kuchar, you know, some of the shorter knocker, more accurate players, Stuart Sink that come out as champions here. Jordan Spieth, Patrick Cantlay, Fitzpatrick, those have been some of your guys that have been money the last handful of years around here. But when you're trying to pinpoint who it's going to be this week, it's more about driving accuracy and iron play and scrambling at the forefront. And that's usually going to lead you to kind of the anti-Masters, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, DeChambeau bomber type. So that's where I'm going to start with my handicap. And you know, there's so many, obviously, there's only 69 players in this field, and they're all the top players in the world. So you're not necessarily going to find, you know, kind of a quote-unquote no-namer at 150-1.
No, you probably not. You know, and again, Brady, we appreciate your help throughout the match. And, of course, we're going to continue to do this around all these tournaments. This really is the peak for the golf year, I feel. But I haven't been able to talk to you on a Monday yet. So I'll leave with this kind of question here. For you, when do you look to get the bets really in? Are you betting guys Monday? Did you bet guys, you know, when did you start to put your RBC Heritage action in?
Sometimes it's Monday afternoon, Monday evening. I haven't gotten into it just yet today, and maybe I'll place a bet here in the next couple of hours. But sometime between basically Monday afternoon and Tuesday morning is when I'll do some of my outright bets. Now, the head-to-head matchups usually don't come out until Tuesday morning, so that'll take place later on Tuesday, maybe even into Wednesday morning. And then by Wednesday afternoon, I'm pretty much wrapped up, and obviously they tee it up on Thursday. So Monday is really, the initial process of the handicap, diving in, figuring out what's going to go on, maybe play a couple of outrights, and then solidify everything, finalize everything on Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, so plenty of time for that action to get in. And again, a lot of big names that we're going to be able to follow. And we'll talk to Brady certainly, I know, this weekend around the RBC. And you can find him on Twitter at Las Vegas Golfer for any breakdowns that you need pre-tournament. Brady, thank you as always. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great that you were able to convince yourself to get on Scottie Scheffler. I love how I told you. I said, look, you were talking about Fleetwood and Cam Smith and these guys. I said, look, at some point, they're probably going to disappoint you. If you go in on Scheffler, you're going to be in the thick of it all the way through, my man. And, hey, ended up being all the way until the very end.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm overly honest, the Scotty stuff was going so well, I snuck a nap in, Brady, because...
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Things were looking good.
A rocking chair
were looking
win.
Good.
A true rocking chair win. A sleeper. Very
yes.
good.
Absolutely fantastic. Again, that is Brady Cannon. I appreciate it so much here. Coming up, we're going to put two other baseball plays on the board for everybody. And then at the top of the hour, we will put our eyes on the WNBA draft, which is tonight. We're back here. Quick break on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live with you right here on Sports Grid. It's game time decisions. Excited to be in the mix. Just to give everybody an idea, what do we have coming up? At the top of the hour, we're going to hit the WNBA draft. There's a couple of interesting spots. There's some market movement day of as well. Caitlin Clark, no market for her to go off of the board at one because of how much of a lock that appears to be, which is incredible because there is a market for Caleb Williams to go first in the NFL draft, and we all would say, oh, those are similar. Clearly not. They feel like it's even more of a certainty that you will see Clark off the board at one. We'll get to all of that. We'll talk to Joe Madden again in about 15 minutes. We'll get the rest of her picks for tonight's baseball board as well as the NHL. And then at 7:25, Dave Sharapan enters the fold. We'll talk some big picture stuff with the golf, with the NBA playoffs. But I also would love to get his insight around this WNBA draft. It's a rarity. You know, we've not been sat here in this chair. And hey, look, a lot of people are talking and watching the WNBA draft. This is the impact of Caitlin Clark, so we're going to handle that. Two picks, though, to add to the MLB play of the day, which is in action and is technically halfway home on the Anthony Rendon over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. A leadoff single really would have been great to just bring him home. That is not the case, though, but still plenty of more opportunity for Rendon to bring in one more hit, run, or RBI. The other bets that I'm adding are O'Neill Cruz for a run scored at -115. Look, it's always tempting to get a leadoff hitter at around that number to score a run. O'Neill Cruz has not been scored by a teammate in 9 games. His 2 runs scored in that window were both on home runs by himself, which is pretty remarkable. Now, part of that is the batting average has been dropping a bit. He's not giving himself a ton of opportunities here. But against Adrian Hauser, I think Cruz will have them. So I like O'Neill Cruz for a run scored. That was, again, at -115. And then I took Joe Ross under 17.5 recorded outs. This was listed at -130. Joe Ross, still not a big volume pitcher up against the good Padres lineup. I'll take the under. Quick break. Back in less than a minute, we'll talk WNBA draft.
Moto Casino, America.
America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.